Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today we have a special guest with us, Mr. Colin Yearwood from Tampa, Florida. Welcome, sir.
Welcome. Really, it's good to be here with you.
It's so great to see you, Colin. My nickname for you is Mr. Results. It's been so much fun going back with you for so many years. Like, we've known each other, gosh, for I think since 2017.
Yeah, 2017, 2018.
We've known each other. We've gotten to do a lot of things together over the years. Between events, you've been to some of the events that we've hosted. You support live events. We've worked together on events. In fact, you've actually supported from a sales capacity over 100 events between virtual and in-person since 2019. And for our audience here who are just kind of meeting you for the first time, you are known as a sales expert, a sales teacher, coach, trainer, and you've helped over, goodness, so many people. You've done over 4 million in coaching sales yourself at these various events. And you personally have done over 2,500 enrollment conversations. So you learned a thing or two about doing sales and doing sales at events. And you now work with coaches and consultants to help them go from making their first sale to hitting five figures in a month and building the businesses that they love without all the stress and awkward scripts and feeling like they have to convince people to buy, all that icky sales techniques, right? You're all about help people have confident conversations that get them clients. It's great to have you on, man.
Rudy, thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're on the show in true fashion. We like to jump right into the value that you have to share with our audience. And again, I think you have a really neat, unique experience in the fact that you've supported from a sales capacity over 100 events live and in person in the last 5-6 years. And I'm curious, what has been the number one factor when it's come to getting results, getting improving sales and getting sales at live events? What do you feel is the number one most important factor when it comes to doing that?
The number one factor of getting results, sales results at events, is preparation. And I found that a lot of people prepare for every other aspect of the event other than the sales part of the event. And I found when you do prepare, you spend time in that preparation process, it sets everyone up for success, those who are selling, the clients who are coming to the event, and the event as a whole.
Preparation. The saying goes, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And I'm really curious to go deeper on you on this subject, because oftentimes, especially on this show, people are top of mind is, how do I fill the event? And it's important, because if you don't have people coming to your event, you don't have an event. But it's so easy to get so focused and taken by filling the event that the preparation for the sales that you'll do at your event, much less the other aspects of the event, it can fall off. And I've seen sometimes people just show up to the event, like figuring it out as they're doing the event, or maybe bringing in friends or volunteers or clients to help them out with doing sales at their events. I'm curious to hear your experience with some of the common mistakes that you maybe see at events, the ones that you've supported, and how you've done things differently from a preparation perspective to get there.
Yeah. So you mentioned some of the mistakes. It's bringing the resources you're bringing in is a secondary factor that focuses on who's going to support the event from a sales point of view. So the first thing I've seen success with is being intentional about the type of person I want to be at this event and what their focus will be. Person will come to the event to focus on nurturing the audience, having conversations, but also selling the offer. So being very clear on what type of person you'd like to support you, and then start intentionally finding those people and working with someone like you, Rudy, or maybe bringing in a sales team that already had vetted experts that's aligned with your vision and the way that you go about running your business. So that's the first thing, finding the right people. The second component of it is investing the time to train those people in a way that's aligned with your messaging, with your offer, and how you expect your audience to be treated, the kind of service you'd expect them to get. And that goes deeper into spending time, sometimes even going through your offer creation with the sales team. As you're creating the offer, you may have them in the room and you ideate, hey, this is what it looks like. This is why we're doing this, and give a bigger picture as to what is your intention around the offer early along in the process, so they can get their values, get their beliefs, get their mind aligned with that process. So that's the beginning of the process.
Okay, great. Yeah, so beginning of the preparation process, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. Let's maybe break down a bit more, because I think it's easy to get caught up in all the things that need to happen. But where do you start when it comes to preparing for the event? I think you and I were talking about practicing. So can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I love the phrase, the saying, practice, remove pressure. Because when you're practiced and you're well-versed at what you do, when it's become second nature, there's removes the pressure out of the room, because now you know, I know how to do this. I've done this. I've had the reps. So what practice could look like is, number one, showing up, having the sales team or the salesperson show up to the event or show up to your course. If you have material that leads up to the event, have them participate in your content. That's one of the first ways you can start. They can start getting some practice as, so what is the messaging and how do you communicate with your audience? And then from there, the practice goes now into how do you want to communicate at the event, what the script is, what the process is, and what the offer. And going over that offer in multiple ways in a way that's aligned to the outcomes that you desire for your clients to have.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I like the saying, practice. People say practice makes perfect, but it's perfect practice makes perfect. So practice makes permanent, as they say. I love what you said, is practice removes pressure, and practicing in advance of the event. As the event leader, think practicing how you're going to deliver your talk, your frames, your presentation, but also as a sales professional and maybe a sales team, having the team practice in advance, study, review, practice, drill, rehearsal, until it gets to the point where people feel natural about it. So when it comes time to go live, again, the pressure's off because it's been practiced several times. Anything else you want to say about that point? Because I think that's, it's so easy to just quickly brush over this. Oh yeah, of course, I don't need to practice.
Yeah, I think seasoned salespeople, I found a lot of people say, well, I know this process already. And you may know the process, but you may not know the offer or how to communicate that offer in a way that's specific for that particular client. So I'm a big fan of role plays, taking as many opportunities to role play either the entire sales process or some parts of the sales process, especially the offer. Because if you're a seasoned person that's selling, you're selling multiple offers over time. Every offer is different. So being able to understand how to communicate the value of that particular offer. And one of my favorite parts to practice is the pricing, because you want to have, I love having that memorized. It flows off my tongue like second nature. I don't want to stumble when it comes to sharing the investment, because I want to transfer that certainty around it. And if you're mumbling about it, or if you're not unsure about it, it takes a little bit of the certainty out of the room. So going through that process and doing role plays, doing practice on your own. One of the things I've done a lot of is practice in the mirror. Just practice mainly. I always mainly practice the offer in the mirror, because I want to see what my facial expressions are as I'm sharing that offer, as I'm talking about certain components of it. And through practice, the other thing I realized really, you realize where are some things that you're talking about that doesn't really resonate with you, or you may not fully understand. So that gives you a pause. Okay, let me just investigate this a little bit. This is where I can go back and ask questions and get clarity about, okay, tell me again, what does this do and why are we doing it? Why are you offering this? And you get that deeper sense of ownership of the offer. It's like, you're not just showing up to deliver these words. You're owning that offer. Like, it's your offer that you're selling, that you're delivering.
Amazing, man. Yeah. I love the role play, the power of the role play, and specifically practicing the delivering the investment amount. I think I oftentimes find that is one of the biggest challenges and opportunities that oftentimes gets overlooked in our minds. Like, oh yeah, the program is, it's called $10,000. It's just so easy. We know that, but to practice, how do we deliver that? How do we deliver that in a way that's a process that rolls off the tongue, that flows, and you say it with certainty, with confidence? They say that only 7% of communication are the words that you're using. I think it's another 38% is the tonality. Are you ending with an upstroke or a downstroke with certainty? And then the other, what is that, 65% roughly, or I don't know what the other number, the balance, is physiology, your physical body. And if you're in person, that's one thing. And if you're virtual, that's another. But practicing all those things besides not just the words. And I find that with numbers specifically, oftentimes people will rush it. And most, It seems like to me, most people struggle sometimes to follow numbers, especially if it's like you're adding up numbers, subtracting numbers, or saying there's a special, whatever, like taking the time to practice delivering the investment amount makes a world of difference, because oftentimes where people get lost. So I've actually never had anybody on this show talk about that. And it's such a subtle, nuanced thing that most people probably never even think about or never think to do or don't do. They know to do it, but don't do it. But I could not overemphasize the value of that, whether you're saying it from stage as the event leader or you're saying it from the back of the room as a sales professional, taking the time to practice delivering the offer. So big. Thank you, Colin, for emphasizing that.
And as you did just as you did a second ago there, you slowed down as you shared that part of it. And that's one of the things that I've learned about delivering the investment is slowing down and giving people a chance to process the numbers, especially if you're going through some price anchoring and coming down with some incentive pricing and a deposit, is being able to be deliberate and slow down as you share that so they get an opportunity to process exactly what's happening, where what's the next steps and what it looks, what the overall value looks like for them. So that's one of the fun parts. I guess that's the sales nerd in me. But that's one of the things that I really enjoy about the process is being able to speak in a way about the offer that not sabotage the entire presentation. Because I can find if you don't present the investment properly, it could sabotage the entire presentation because you're getting a lot of questions. What was that? And taking people's mind off of the results and the transformation that they're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. And the saying goes, when two or more people meet, the person that has more congruency and more certainty will influence the other person. So if you're like wishy-washy with, I don't know quite know what the numbers are, I need to go look it up, that takes away from that certainty and congruency. So many things around this one little thing, Colin, but I think you hit like a bullseye right here. For our audience listening to this, if you are making offers at your event, front of the room or back of the room, I cannot overemphasize the importance of this one little thing. If there was only one thing you could practice, it would be this thing. Practice the delivery of not just your offer, but your value stack and the investment of your program and the words that you use it, the tonality that you use, and the physiology behind it as well. Again, when two or more people meet, the person that's more congruent will influence the other person. Thank you, brother. Which brings us to our next point. You and I were talking in the green room about this idea of sales being aligned with event messaging. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So many times you'll find some people drop sales teams in and they're just there for the selling portion of the event. They haven't been there all 3 days, or if they're there all 3 days, they're not participating in the event. And one of the things I find is really aligning the whole sales presentation, sales conversation with the event is being present in the event from the beginning all the way through. Yes, it's an investment you make, but I think the investment ultimately pays off because it allows you to really understand and reference at times what was spoken about from stage. And you may have some specific references you can bring people back to. You understand, oh, this is how they say certain things. This is an example that the presenter used. I can now use that and reference it. Do you remember when they said this? And understanding the way that the presenter communicates throughout the presentation, you can mirror that to align with how you share your offer. And it kind of, if you're not part of that person's ecosystem always, it makes the transition a little smoother as you're speaking to the client, because they're hearing one type of method from stage, and then they're hearing the same, some congruency as you speak to them. You're speaking to them in the same tone, using some of the same words, using the same language, using some of the same frames that you've heard. You can pick that up, put that into your conversation, and like bring people back to, do you remember when he said this, referencing those things? Do you remember that example, that testimonial that was shared on stage? It makes you feel more part of the process, but also make the potential client feel, oh, wow, this person is here for me. They're involved in it as I am too. They're invested in it as I am too.
Awesome, man. Yeah. So important part of preparation, right, is preparing the message, aligned message, and having anybody who's representing the message or the sales aligned with that. So critical. And last but not least, in the green room, we discussed this idea of focusing on service and connection, and the sales will follow. Can you tell us more about that?
I really am a big fan of presence over performance. And what it means to me is working on myself, getting me into the state of me being present there, leaving whatever troubles I'm having in my personal life, or I had that morning to get to that event out of the door and be present for the people in the room. That I find that helps create a deeper connection with people. And it makes people feel like you're there for them. And because you're present, it allows you to feel a little more connected to that person. You're more open to listening. You're more open to serving. It becomes less about you and about the person in front of you as it aligns with the offer, with the presentation, with the event that is happening. And when you focus on serving people, and it's maybe sometimes it sounds cliche, but it's been my experience, when I focus on being present and serving people and looking for the answers to solve their problem versus focusing on, oh, I need to close this deal, the process becomes a lot more smoother, and there's a lot more deals closed when you show up that way.
Yeah, being outward focus versus inward focus. You know, how do I solve their problem versus how do I get something from somebody? Right? They got different energy, and people pick up on it. They pick up when you're trying to get them and when you're trying to serve them. One of my favorite quotes I learned from Tony Robbins is the idea that life serves that which supports life. So when we're in support and in service of others and creating value for others, like, it's invariably the money, the sales, all that stuff follows, right? As you were saying here. Awesome, man. You've made some really, really great points on preparation and the importance of preparing for having sales success. It doesn't just happen. Preparation is for the luck. Seven-figure event, the 7 figures in sales happens when there's a lot of preparation, as well as a little bit of luck, or I guess when the preparation meets the opportunity. Colin, just as we start to wrap up here, any like points that you want to make or final comments or remarks for our audience to kind of bring it all home?
The thing I encourage the audience to do is put the same level of emphasis on the sales component, the sales process of the event that you do on marketing, that you do in preparing for the event, is give it the same weight. And maybe if you're not able to do that yourself because of all the other responsibilities, is find someone that can support you fully and be totally present for that area. And maybe be your liaison between the work you're doing with your messaging to get people to the event, with the work you're doing as to the presentations, and help them bridge that with the sales team or that person who's handling sales. So spend some time investing that time into the sales process. And I believe you'll see better results, and not only for yourself, but you'll create better results for those attendees.
Awesome. Take the time, invest the time to prepare, not just from the marketing, but also from the sales process. Yes. Thank you, brother. Great having you with us today. Thank you for sharing your expertise, your experience, and your wisdom. And for our audience members who just love what you're sharing here and they want to learn more about you and what you do, what would be the best place for them to follow you?
I keep it simple. ColinYearwood.com, ColinYearwood.com.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And when they go to ColinYearwood.com, is there anything specifically you would invite them to do?
So there's a link to my calendar there. If you want to jump on a quick conversation, I'll be happy to do so. But also there will be a lead magnet there that shares my perspective of selling is more of a person development and communication process than just tactics and objection handling, as people see it.
Okay, awesome, brother. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for sharing your website. That's ColinYearwood.com. We're going to go ahead and include that here somewhere near the video or the audio or the notes, ColinYearwood.com. Go there, check out his website. You can book a consultation with him if you want to chat with him about sales at your events or just sales in general, if you want to improve your sales. Colin's a great resource. And then also there'll be a lead magnet there for you guys as well. It's a little goodie in the near future. Thank you, brother. It was great to have you on today.
Thanks again. Thanks for having me, Rudy.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.